Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Zurian Show. The Zurian Show brings and shares powerful and useful information to our listeners. The show is great for those looking for the positive in the world. The goal of the show is to share great information on a number of topics and great subjects. Many of the subjects covered are not only great information, but helpful insights. The Zurian Show even shares some of life's greatest lessons from time to time. Thank you for listening, and now to our host, Zurian.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Zurian Show. As always, we hope we find you in the best of health, happiness, and, of course, good spirits. As for us, we are doing just fine. Ladies and gentlemen, all of us, again, as you always hear, are looking for different ways to improve ourselves, improve our lives, and improve, hopefully, the quality of the lives in which we actually come in contact with on a regular basis. Today, what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about the top five reasons that most businesses fail. You know, every day there's new businesses that start up around the world, not just in the Washington, D.C. metro area, but in California, across the seas, all over the place. There's different businesses that start up, and they all start up with one thing in mind. Well, first off, they start off with a dream. But the main thing that most of them start off with is a hope for success, a want for success, a need for success, and a desire to actually bring a service to the world. And that service may vary. However, the overall desire is to, again, profit and to bring something to the world that's a little different, to be an individual, to be unusual, to be a trendsetter, and to find success. Success is the one thing that we all look for on a regular basis. And, you know, we're all told that there's a lot of different things that go on, and we've all been told that there are some rules that we need to follow in order to be successful in business. One of those rules is, of course, have a plan. Another one of those rules is, of course, have the financing in place. Another is, you know, develop a chain of command or a line of authorities. Another one is to identify the different roles that you're going to need to succeed in your business. However, even though a lot of the basic rules, plans, and things like that have already been set out, and not only have they been set out, but they've been basically gone over for years and years and years, it's amazing that businesses fail 70% of the time within the first 2 years, and 80 will not even make it to their fifth year. For some places, that number is even worse. It depends on what you're looking at and where you're looking at it as far as your business success and your being able to succeed in the goals in which you want to endeavor into to find success. But a lot of us, what we do is we ignore something called our statistics. You know, we don't look at the stats. We hide them. Them in the sense of using them to help us to find success. So it's amazing that with these stats, and that same 5 to 10 years as well, if you make it past that 5 to 10 years, you have a tendency to actually find ways to make your business succeed. However, most of us fail to understand how business works. We fail to look at the true keys that we need to put in place to truly find business success. And this could mean a chance. A chance in 4 and 16 that they'll actually get to the 10-year mark. And 100% of it starts with you taking the time to plan your work, work your plan, and then also understanding that that plan is a living document. It doesn't matter whether you live in an urban area or you live in a country area. It just really doesn't matter. What does matter is that you need to look at the reasons as to why your business is failing or why businesses fail, and then try your best not to repeat those things. So what we want to do is we want to try to isolate what you don't want to do so that you will get out of your business what it is that you're looking for. Again, you know, it's said that 90% of all businesses will fail or be out of business in the average of 5 years. So what is it that you want from your business? What are your goals to find success? What are you willing to do to make sure that you're not part of that 5%? Or excuse me, that you're not one of the people that fail because, one, you failed to plan, and, two, you failed to set yourself up to succeed. Well, again, as I said before, as most people say, those who don't plan basically plan to fail. Well, that's very true. But my question to each and every person listening today is, what do you want to leave? Do you want to leave a legacy? Do you want to leave debt? Are you willing to do the things necessary to make your business a successful business? And what, again, are the 5 reasons that most businesses fail? And how can we take that information and use it so that we can find business success, so that we can do the things that we want to live and live the quality of life that we're willing to live, or excuse me, that we're willing to live, but most of us aren't truly willing to work for. So ask yourself this. You start a business. Did you start that business to fail? Of course you didn't. You started that business because you wanted to succeed. You wanted to find the tools necessary and provide the level of quality service to people that they would appreciate and be willing to pay for, and in some cases pay more for, because nowadays we also live in a society where there's a lot of businesses that don't really provide what a lot of our customers would consider to be quality service. So one of the areas that I want to talk about in the 5 is the wrong delivery system. Many business professionals claim that businesses fail due to a lack of capital. I would disagree. After having bootstrapped, you know, my own businesses and trying to make them work or working to make them work, several times we've built up large levels of money and also large levels of backing, even though we may have lacked the original finances that we needed. But we were able to create the finances that we needed by actually putting our money where our mouth was and actually doing the work necessary to truly find the success in which we were looking to reach. You know, it's not enough, ladies and gentlemen, to have a dream. You need to have a plan. And from that plan, you need to be willing to do what's necessary and get rid of the pitfalls that are up front. So wrong delivery system is one. Now, when you talk about a delivery system, what I want you to do is I want you to think for a second. How many McDonald's do you see? You see hundreds. You see thousands of McDonald's. Ray Kroc really hit a serious one when he decided to buy the McDonald's franchise from the brothers. But what did Ray Kroc do? Ray Kroc created a system. He created a flawless delivery system. Look at Starbucks. Same thing. Starbucks created a flawless delivery system. And they also created a system where what you could do is you could take the information that they had and they made it so systematized that anyone could follow it. Didn't matter whether you had a degree or what have you. I mean, some people joke that, you know, at a McDonald's, and again, I'm only using these as tools, they actually have pictures on the food. I don't know if they still have pictures of the food anymore. However, it was a system that was so simple that anybody could use it. It was a flawless system. So again, McDonald's, Starbucks, companies that created a system of doing business and then taught that system to every single person that you ran into. If you go into a McDonald's, be it here in the United States or in Norway, and I've been to Norway, that McDonald's, for the most part, looks just like any other McDonald's. The way that they cook the hamburger is just the same way. The way that the dispensers dispense food is pretty much the same way. The greeting is pretty much the same way. The uniform is pretty much the same way. They have created a wheel that just continuously turns out the product, and the product is a McDonald's hamburger, fries, and what have you. They've created a thing that works. They didn't try to reinvent the wheel. They took what worked, and then they created a McDonald's franchise, and because that system worked, they then distributed it out to any and everybody that was looking to open up a McDonald's. And in McDonald's, you will do it their way or you won't do it. So trying to reinvent or re-engineer the wheel is one of the things that hurts a lot of businesses. And we could learn a lot from these, basically, these people that have taken the system and refined it into a smoothly running and profitable business. And that talks about from start to finish. A lot of business owners out there, they have a particular idea, but they don't have a systematized system to actually put it in into process. So try to imagine yourself 10 years down the road and how much business success that you could have if you get a system, prove that that system works, and then make sure that everybody that does the system is on the same sheet of music. Communication, training plans, updates, all of these different things that you want to do to grow your business. So number one of the five is having the wrong delivery system. You don't want to have the wrong delivery system, and whatever the system is, that's the system you want to follow. The next one is satisfying a need versus satisfying a want. You know, if you talk to a lot of consultants, you'll find that a lot of them have a short circuit, not the consultants, but a lot of the businesses that they deal with have a bit of a short circuit in their success. What's the short circuit? The short circuit is that you have a particular service or product that you want to provide. The problem is the service that you want to provide, is it wanted and is it needed? Are you satisfying the need of the clients in which you need to serve? Are you doing everything to also make them feel valued and make them want to do business with you? A lot of businesses are of the mindset that, you know, I've got this product and you need to want it. No. You've got a product and you need to convince them that they need your product. Now, let's go back to the example that I used before. Does McDonald's necessarily make the best hamburgers? Probably not. Does Starbucks make the best coffee? If you're not a Starbucks fan, you would definitely beg to differ that Starbucks makes the best coffee. However, what have they done? What they've done is they live and work in a world where everything is fast and everything is now. I need it now. And what do? They provide a level of quality and service, not saying that it's not great, but they provide a level of quality and service that people want. If they want it fast, they get it fast. If they want a burger and they expect that burger to taste a certain way, guess what? It tastes a certain way. And for the most part, again, when we were talking about, you know, the McDonald's, pretty much no matter what McDonald's you go into, that McDonald's is going to be cooked the same and processed the same. They may use a little bit of a different meat. I think when I was in Norway, it was reindeer meat. But either way, those chains that do what they do it in such a way that they're meeting the needs of their customers. Notice I didn't say necessarily exceeding the way that they meet the needs of their customers, but they're meeting the way. They're giving people what they believe they need, and they're giving people what they believe they want. What people want and what people need are not up to you. They're up to the people, unless you created such a culture that what you have is so much of a benefit that people will see your benefit. Because, again, most people could probably make a better product. However, can they get it out in volume? Can they turn it around? And can they make the profits from it? And can they get the public to agree and believe that what they're giving them is something of quality? So, again, you need to satisfy or work on satisfying needs versus wants. Also, when I say versus needs versus wants, what I'm also talking about is what you want, again, meeting the needs. Because if it's all about you, you're probably going to lose. That WIIFM, what's in it for me, is what every customer that walks into your store or uses your product or uses your service is thinking. What are you giving them? What value are you putting on it? Now, to me, what you need to do is you need to give them a lot more value than you're asking in return. But that part is totally up to you. Are you saving them time? Are you saving them money? Are you getting it to them fast enough? You know, what more can you do to provide service so that they choose you over the guy down the street that's doing the same, similar product, just wrapped in a different wrapper? You need to give people what they want. If you give people what they want, one day you'll be rich. As Zig Ziglar said, if you truly want to find success, find a way to help as many people as you can, because by helping the many, you will win. Also, another area that you want to look at, location, location, location. All right? As some people would say, that is more than enough said. You always want to choose a location that may be a little bit smaller, but it's in the perfect spot. You don't want to get a location that's too large. You don't want to necessarily get the cheapest location that's out the way. You want to get a location that's going to give you the foot traffic that to get people there. Now, once you create a product that people just want by hearing the name, then you're in a whole other ballpark. But most people aren't in that particular type of situation. So number three is the wrong location. Not having the right location can hurt you. All right? I mean, let's be honest. If you're a jeweler way out in the sticks, who's going to drive way out in the sticks to buy your jewelry? Unless your jewelry is like, you know, the creme de la creme de la creme. So your location is very, very crucial. Number three, again, is the wrong location. You need to choose a location that's going to work for you. You need to choose a location that other people are going to use. You need to choose a location that's safe. You need to always make sure that your location is clean. You also need to provide, again, significant and great service and value to each and every person that comes into your store. You need to make it worth the fact that they're willing to do business with you. And you need to work on figuring out ways to exceed their expectations. But again, one, if they don't know you're there, if they don't have your location, if they don't know where your location is, or if your location is something that puts people at risk, then again, location is definitely going to be a problem for you. So you must give your business the best chance from the start to be successful. So you must choose the right location so that you can, of course, end up being successful and provide the quality of service, product, and all of the above that you need to provide. So next thing is number four is no marketing knowledge. Oh man, ladies and gentlemen, this is something that really hurts a lot of people. Now, please understand, I know that in 2013 and going on into the future, we are constantly bombarded by different types of advertisements. Advertisements is forced down our throat. I think most people get something like 10,000 advertisements thrown at them just in the course of the day, and it's probably more than that. It's probably about 30,000, from billboards to signs to TV to radio to the internet to email. I mean, even when you go on to send an email, depending on who your carrier is, usually there's some type of commercial there. We're constantly bombarded. Now you have apps, and you've got Facebook and Twitter and blogs and Blog Talk and all of these different ways of trying to get your dollar. You go into some places, again, there's all types of advertisement. Advertisement is decoration. It's really interesting that, you know, advertisement is now also part of decoration. But anyway, many different businesses around the world show evidence of this. The businesses have not really, but yet a lot of these businesses still haven't really understood the power of marketing. They really don't understand the power of growing their business and getting it out there to people so that they know what's going on. Now, depending on what you're looking at doing, what I tell people is I tell them, listen, don't get rid of the old type of marketing that you're using. What you want to do is integrate some of the old with some of the new. So if you're using print ads are very valuable. And you can use some of those print ads to help you with your social media, help you with your internet marketing, help you with your other stuff. What you want to do is get rid of the dead weight. A lot of the marketing out there is dead weight. And a lot of it is stuff that we're pouring money into expecting a different result, which is what? The definition of insanity, because we're not getting that result. So if you're doing mailers, that's fine. But you might want to cut down on those mailers, or you want to try to take what information you already have from the mailers that you've been sending out and see which areas are paying off for you. You want to integrate social media into that. Again, you can get yourself a Facebook. You can get yourself a Twitter. You can put your stuff on YouTube. YouTube is now a critical part for a lot of places or people that are using or trying to develop their marketing. And it's a tool that people can interact with. However, you need to be willing to give it time to grow and to put the dollars where it's going to give you the most bang for your buck. And again, like I said, if you've got a particular marketing that you're using and you're not getting the value for it, then that's marketing that you need to get rid of. You need to go ahead and let that go. And by letting that go, you're giving yourself and your business a chance to grow and to be successful. Don't waste money on something that's not going to work for you. However, give whatever you're using a chance to actually work. First time you sent out a mailer, you didn't get an instant reply. First time you told somebody about your business, you didn't get an instant reply. So don't think that all of a sudden, because you got the new best and greatest tool, that it's going to give you what you need. What you need is something that is stable and something that's going to, again, give you the value back and the return that you're looking for. While you're doing that, you also want to create a database. And that database is clients that like you and use you, and you can actually continue to get them into your business. I tell people all the time, your reputation is very valuable. It is a phenomenal value. However, if you don't take advantage of that by using the people, and I don't mean using them in a bad way, but using the people that you're presently dealing with to give you testimonials, to give you recommendations, to give you referrals, then you're missing out on the boat. If you're not allowing your customers to understand that you provide additional services or providing additional services at no cost, unless you're in contracting, we don't want to, mess up another contract. We don't want to do, torturous interference of a government contract. You can't cross those lines, but bringing as much value to the services that you already provide. And here's another thing. No matter who you are, don't look for a thank you. Do not look for your customers to say, oh, God, thank you for saving me $10,000. Thank you for saving my butt and getting me that promotion. If you start looking for gratitude, you're not going to get it. Your gratitude, your happiness, and your fulfillment has to come from you, and it needs to come in the fact that that customer continues to do business with you, but you also have to make that customer feel valued. Are there going to be times when your customers are knuckleheads? Oh, yeah. However, you have to get past that, because business is what? Business. And in business, you're going to find good people and you're going to find bad people. And a lot of times, it's the bad people that move to the next level of success. So if you're looking at social media, find 5 things that you want to do. If you're already using regular marketing, take that marketing and intertwine it and see which things start to give you the most bang for your buck. And again, give them time. You know, as everybody knows, I'm an advocate for text message mobile media marketing. But if text message mobile media marketing isn't for you, then don't use it. This is about business. Create a relationship with the people that are doing your marketing to where you're on the same sheet of music, or you understand where they're going, and where they're going is taking you in the direction that you need to go. And guess what? You'll have a very harmonious relationship with them. Your business will grow. You will find success, and it will become a serious win-win situation. It can happen, ladies and gentlemen. You just have to be willing to do your part. So no matter what your marketing is, you need to make sure that you're going to do the right thing. Look at your cash flow. Look at where you're spending money. Look at the common economics within your area. Look at your accounting principles when you look at making your marketing decisions, all right, as you sell your services and products, whether they're high-end or low-end. doesn't matter the spectrum. It just matters that you get people to think of your brand and think of your name as they go forward, because you're trying to create the greatest flow of cash by getting people to come again and again and again. I'm going to say this for the last time. Ladies and gentlemen, stop wasting your time trying to get new business, because most of the time you're not taking care of the business that you have and the relationships that you have. Next thing. Number five, not being congruent between personal and business. You have to be congruent. You have to be consistent. You have to be in line with your overall purpose and what you're trying to do. So simply put, all business is personal. You know, I say business is business, but all business is personal. All business is personal because you are touching other people's lives. Okay? When you wash hair, do you just wash the tips or do you wash the whole head? You wash the whole head. And when you're doing business with somebody, there's personal things involved. Most people spend more time at their job, dealing with their job or dealing with their clients because of their job, no matter what their job is, than anything else. Most of us spend more time at work than we do at home. However, the rate of illnesses, the rate of cancer, the rate of all these other health issues are coming up. One, because we're not congruent. Why are we not congruent? We're not sticking by our principles. We're not walking the talk, so to speak. So since we're not walking the talk, every day we're dealing with tension. We're causing our own heart attacks. We're causing our own health situation. You know, I was listening to a thing the other day, and in it, I think it was Queen Elizabeth. Queen Elizabeth made a statement, and in her statement she said, every man should get out and see the sky every day as part of his routine. And that's a very poignant and very important thing. How many of you guys or ladies aren't exercising? How many of you are eating crap? How many of you are sitting in front of the computer trying to do your lunch? How many of you are sitting at home in front of a television trying to get a report out? These things are incongruent to success. Work is work. Home is home. Your wife, your kids, your significant other, they all need a certain amount of your time. You also need a certain amount of your time. That downtime is precious. I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, something else. I am a stickler for one, character and people doing what they say they're going to do, and two, for the proper utilization as best as possible of time. The most valuable asset that any of us have is time. Is nobody that's born and surgeon says at the birth, or excuse me, the doctor at the birth says, oh my God, it's a salesman. Oh my God, it's a contractor. Oh my God, it's a businessman. Oh my God, it's a senator. Oh my God, it's the laundry guy. It doesn't really matter. What they say is it's a boy or it's a girl. In life, we must be contingent and consistent with ourselves. You have to do things that you love, not just things that make you money. You need to do things that you love. You need to do things that you believe in. You need to be a person of quality. You need to be a person of character. You need to be the best person that you can possibly be, not anybody else. None of us can be anybody but ourselves. So, ladies and gentlemen, in short, those are the five top reasons that most businesses fail. Don't relive them. Learn. Go to your local library. The success stories are phenomenal that are out there. Learn from other people's mistakes. You're going to make enough of your own. You don't need to add to that by making and repeating the ones that have already been repeated. Again, wrong delivery system. Find the right delivery system for your brand, your product, and you. Satisfying needs versus wants. Satisfy the needs of your customers and the wants of your customers while also succeeding in your business, understanding that it is a partnership between you and your clients. Wrong location. Find the right location that is safe and that's going to bring the most value and get you the most visibility. No marketing knowledge. Learn about marketing. Learn about the new tools that are out there. Take some time. Get from in front of the idiot box and learn something that's going to help you. And five, make sure that you're congruent between your personal life and your business. Many a salesman and many a people have died because of the fact that they couldn't find that. The stress just killed them. Anyway, Cesarian of the Zurian Show. I want to thank you guys for listening. I am always honored with the fact that you continue to listen to our show, and I, again, am very humbled by that. I hope that everybody has a great and fantastic day, and again, thank you for listening, and you guys take care. Take care. Bye-bye.